Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is August 23rd, 2019. It is an overcast day here in Nashville, with some significant cooling and relief from the very hot temperatures of the last couple of weeks. It is often said that the biodiversity of Tennessee is second to none in the continental U.S. This, of course, has to do with the highly varied geographical features we have, from the higher elevations in the eastern state to the multiple river basins which ultimately feed into the Tennessee and Mississippi rivers. In 1968, the Tennessee State Legislature passed the Tennessee Scenic Rivers Act. This act listed multiple rivers across the state which were deemed worthy of protection. Tennessee was among the very first states to pass such a measure. The law itself gave rather robust authority to the state to manage and protect the designated rivers, most of which authority has never been utilized. And over the years since then, there have been some notable controversies. Significant among those was the removal by the legislature of the Collins River from the designated scenic rivers list in 1984. We will leave for another time a discussion of whether the Scenic Rivers Act has been effectively administered by the state. But whether or not it is a result of the act, when we look today at the condition of the designated rivers in the river system, we see some really beautiful places that seem to be holding their own. This is not to say that there are no continuing threats, but we have not seen the development of any large-scale dams or mining operations near or adjacent to these rivers. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to interview Gary Weatherford, who is the president of the Tennessee Scenic Rivers Association. TSRA is a volunteer organization which actually predates the Scenic Rivers Act and was largely responsible for its passage. TSRA today continues to be very active in advocating for conservation of our precious river systems and is also highly involved in providing recreational and safety programming for canoe and kayak paddlers. And so I hope you will enjoy my interview with Gary Weatherford as we learn more about the Tennessee Scenic Rivers Association. So Gary Weatherford, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Gary, it's great to have you here. I appreciate you coming over on this hot and sunny day here in late August in Nashville.
It is quite warm out there.
Gary, you are the president of the Tennessee Scenic Rivers Association, which is a really responsible job that you have. Of course, it's a volunteer position, is it? That's right?
Correct. Purely made of volunteers. We do have an ops manager and a person that does our finances, but everyone else is volunteer.
I wondered about that, because just handling the memberships and that sort of thing can be a real nightmare, just taking somebody's check and making sure they get their membership card and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, how long have you been the president?
Well, this will be my second term, so I started in 2018, before that I was vice president, and then I basically chaired many events for the organization before I came up.
Well, fantastic. Now, you are originally from Arkansas, you were telling me.
Correct, yeah. I'm originally from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and when I left there, I went off in the Navy, and I spent a couple of years in Pensacola, Florida, three tough years there, and then three tough years in Puerto Rico.
Oh my!
So
That sounds like hard duty in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it was tough. I got sunburns and great white sand beaches for 6 years.
That is a beautiful, beautiful place. Gary, I want to get into some detail about the Tennessee Scenic Rivers Association and what you do. My audience is interested in things that are related to the conservation and the outdoors. And some people are interested in the rivers and what's going on there. So tell us about the history of TSRA.
Okay. Well, so TSRA was pretty much founded in 1966. And you know, essentially what it was, there were two guys out there. Their names are Robert Miller and Tony Statler. So they were out on the Collins River, which is, you know, kind of south east of here.
Near McMinnville, Tennessee. Yep,
correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was like one of their favorite fishing holes. And apparently someone decided that they were going to dam up that river and make a lake out of it. Well, these two guys, they were out there and they just decided, you know, I don't know if we should stand for, you know, if we should allow this to happen. This is too beautiful to, you know, just to let become a lake.
Right.
So they got together and they met and they pulled a couple other people together and they basically formed Tennessee Scenic River Association. Okay. And at that time, they were successful in stopping that river from being dammed up. And now it's one of our scenic rivers. And of course, now it's, you know, free flowing, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it is a free flowing, I believe. And people still recreate on it. People fish on it and it hasn't changed. And now that it's protected, it's not going to change.
Well, that's a great introduction to what's going on. Now, the Tennessee Scenic Rivers Act passed in 1968. So I presume that the TSRA was involved in the promotion of and getting that act to pass.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard for me to speak to exactly what it was,
right.
But I know all these guys that started this organization back then, they were heavily involved in
right.
making that happen.
And of course, the legislation that passed the Tennessee State Legislature has been amended several times to take some rivers out of the system and put some new rivers back in the system. Mm-hmm. So going, and I don't know if we need to make actually a list here today because it's a long list of rivers, but we have rivers all the way from way up in East Tennessee through Middle Tennessee all the way to the west.
Yeah, well, pretty much across the all over the state of Tennessee.
Right.
And we're currently working with American Whitewater to do the Nolichucky. So we're trying to get that one designated right now.
Oh, that's good news. I had not heard that. Tell us more.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with American Whitewater, right, they are, you know, they provide all kinds of resources and they protect the paddlers' rights to streams nationwide. And then, so all of the paddle groups, right, we're linking together with them and supporting the cause to get that one labeled that way it's never developed on. Because right now, it's really a premium river out there, the Whitewater and a lot of fishing on it, so we're going to protect it.
Yeah, the Nolichucky runs through Irwin, Tennessee, and way up in
North Carolina, and near
over across the mountain. Yes, beautiful, beautiful river. All right, well, that's good news. Now you are a statewide organization. How many members do you have now?
That's kind of up in question, but we have about 200. Around 200 to 300 life members,
okay,
and about 3 to the numbers range anywhere from the 350 to 450 range on active members.
It just varies from year to year.
Right,
people pick up their membership and don't renew, and then renew late and do all kinds of weird things.
And we're working on an initiative right now to our processes are manual.
Oh,
so we're literally going to implement a CRM next year.
Okay.
And have that integrated with our website so that we can do auto renewals because we know we lose people like that.
Okay.
But it's just a difficult task for operations to maintain that and get ignored by people. You know, everybody's busy. So the more we can automate that, it's going to be a big hit for our organization.
You all do a lot of things for a strictly volunteer organization. And it's the logistics of some of those things can be quite difficult. So it's commendable that you all are doing as much as you can. Tell us a little bit about, I know that you all are involved in conservation of water resources. I mean, that's one of your big things. What's going on in that regard these days?
Yeah, well, we have a group of guys, Donnie Safer Daniel Boone are two of our board members. They've been there for a long time, and they're heavily involved in conservation efforts, not just with water, but across the board. Mm-hmm. And they kind of lead our conservation efforts at TSRA. But recently, like if you've heard of the coal ash, it's leaching into the Cumberland River up in Gallatin. You know, that was a TVA plant. So We were an interested party. We worked with Southern Environmental Law Center to have them get that cleaned up. It was a long battle for About 5 years.
And were y'all actually plaintiffs in the lawsuit?
Yeah, were you plaintiffs. Okay. Us and I think TDEC.
Environment and conservation, right.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, that just finally, it's settled. It's still a long thing for them to clean up. They got like 20 years before they can actually, they are required to clean up because it's, you know, it's kind of a big mess up there.
Right. Well, yeah, this is where the Tennessee Valley Authority had a coal-burning steam plant where they generated electricity. Mm-hmm. And rather than taking the cinders from the burnt coal away to be disposed of, they stored them right there on the site, mm-hmm. and happened to be right next to the river.
Yeah.
So it's leaching into the river and making a mess.
Yeah. So we had, you know, stream surveys done, and we, you know, it was proven that that was the source of the pollution,
sure.
into the Cumberland River, which is where, if you live in Davidson County, that's where we drink our water from.
Exactly. Were you all involved in the business up in the Clinch River in Kingston and that with the coal ash situation up in East Tennessee?
We got partially involved in it, but we were kind of extended on this issue here.
I got you.
We were, I don't know where that actually went to from our standpoint, but
right.
we do paddle out in those areas, out, you know, on the plateau. So that was a river we're interested in.
Right. You all are involved with the Tennessee Department of Conservation and Environment, who have rangers and people in the field all across the state, working with them for river access. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of river accesses, primarily in Middle Tennessee. So like Mill Creek here in town, we have a couple of accesses on it. And there's the Stones River over in off of Lebanon Road. Mm-hmm. We put an access under the bridge under Lebanon, and I think it was like 2 years ago we put another access, which is in a new park around there. I forget what the park's called, but mm-hmm. it rides along the Greenway, goes up towards the Cumberland. Mm-hmm. So now what they've done, and we worked with you know, Jane Polanski at the Parks Department. Mm-hmm. She's heavily involved with our access program, and so now that is going to be kind of like a blue way where you can go launch your canoe or kayak, you know, there at Lebanon Road. You can paddle in. It's probably about 2.5-3 miles, and you have an access there, and you're going to be able to camp there, you know, in town, right in the middle of Nashville.
So, fantastic.
And then whenever you get up in the morning, you're out there. You know, when you're there, it's like you're in the wild. It's not like you're in the city. The only way you'll know is because it is over the air, you know, the aircraft pattern.
Right.
But it's really a beautiful location to camp. And we have nice, beautiful stairs to park your boat and get up to the land.
Now, is this the property where the campsite is intended to be? Is that in state ownership, or what? Who has that property?
It is in state ownership.
Okay.
I'm not really familiar with all the particulars on it because I know I was running there earlier this week on the Greenway.
I see.
It still seems to be locked up, but there's an old farm there that they've either donated or the state provision the land. I don't know the.
I know Metro has some properties over through there too,
yeah.
So it might be maybe part of Metro's system. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. Now you all have programs all across the state for recreational canoers and kayakers that have to do with safety and learning how to canoe properly and rescue and all that sort of thing. Tell us about that, and how can, if someone's interested in getting involved in some of that, something like that, how can they get involved?
Okay. Yeah, and actually, so this came out of our, you know, this goes back to the birth of TSRA back in the late 60s. So these guys, when they started getting members up, right, everybody was interested in saving these rivers. And then the way they were doing it is everybody out there on the water. And they started moving into whitewater. And then they found out, wait, not everybody knows how to do all this properly. So, hey, somebody has to go and learn how to properly do this and do it safely.
Right.
So the founding members of TSRA back then decided to create training programs. And so that's my focus. I'm actually an ACA Level 4 Swiftwater instructor. So
American Canoeing Association?
Yeah, American Canoeing Association. So they developed the curriculum, and that's the curriculum we use to teach boating, canoeing. We don't really do stand-up paddle boarding, but we're probably going to. But there's already a lot of instructors in the Nashville area. Stand-up paddleboarding is very popular on the lakes.
And, fantastic.
So, yeah, the So we have a lot of those programs going on. I would say, like, the way ours rolls is in February, March time frame, we have what we call our row school. So it's in the winter. We teach you how to row your kayak.
Okay, so so for those that are not familiar with the nomenclature of kayaking, what is a roll?
Yeah, so
R-O-L-L.
Yeah, R-O-L-L.
All right.
So this is, if you're going to get into white water and it's actually beneficial, or sea kayaking, if you're going to be in a decked boat, those boats will tip over and you're strapped into them. You wear a skirt, you know, and it's attached to the boat. It keeps the water out of the boat.
Right.
Keeps you in it. So, you know, rolling over is easy. Rolling up, not so much. But, you know, what it's very beneficial to you if you learn to roll up. You know, there's a technique. It's all technique. And we teach that technique in the winter. So that's what it is. Some people call it the Eskimo row, self-rescue. It's got various names. But
and you do this in somebody's indoor swimming pool, hopefully,
correct,
in the wintertime.
Yeah, yeah. So this last year, we were teaching it at the rec center in Vanderbilt.
Okay.
So right now, we are partnering with them on this. I think we're hoping to do it there this year. It's a great facility, and they work with us really well. And so that's the progression. We start in February, March, when it's cold, it's warm in the pool, and clear water, and we go in and learn how to row a boat. We have about 6 sessions, like every Wednesday night for about 6 weeks, depending on scheduling of other events. And hopefully in 6 weeks, and usually we get, I would say, 75-80% of the people do learn how to row a boat.
And how many people will participate in this kind of an activity?
I would say, it's hard to tell, but I'm doing it from my memory when I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of people are students, and we got a lot of volunteers. Again, very active volunteers. So I would say the pool gets about 60 to 80 people, you know, 60 to 70 people in the pool.
Fantastic. And do you do these at other parts of the state or just here in Middle Tennessee?
Just here in Tennessee. Other paddling clubs in Tennessee. Tennessee has a lot of paddling clubs throughout, all the way from Memphis to...
Okay.
TVCC.
Are they affiliated with TSRA or is it just loosely affiliated?
Not formally affiliated,
okay,
but we all work together.
Okay.
And we have common missions. We're more, the difference with TSRA than the others is we're more for the access. We do accesses and conservation more so than the others. The others are more into strictly paddling.
Right.
And we're a little bit of both. So with row school, right, we try to get everybody rolling their boat because that's an essential skill. And then we have different programs that start up in the, so about anywhere from late April, May, June, July, and I think our last one just finished. But we will actually teach you the basics in, you know, paddling your boat, canoe or kayak. And, you know, we start at the very beginning, you know, how to actually even pull the boat out of your car and properly get it to the shore and how to get in it properly. Proper stroke technique, and then we go into safety. We have a rescue for wreck boats. It's been a very popular class that we started, I think, three years ago, and we have been running 3 of those classes a year, and probably 20-25 students per class, so getting a lot of participation in that. The wreck paddling is really taking off here in Middle Tennessee.
Tell me what you mean.
Recreational paddling.
Right.
So people that paddle on, say, Percy Priest, any of the lakes, the Harpeth River, right? Say class 1 or less. You know, there's a lot of paddling in that market there.
And people want to learn how to do it safely.
Exactly.
Right.
And we want to hear. The worst thing we hate hearing is that somebody got hurt.
Sure.
And another thing, we're very high proponent of wearing your PFD or life jacket.
Right.
Because you know, that's the vast majority of the accidents, especially the fatalities, the PFD is usually not on those people.
Mm-hmm.
So people, you need to wear your PFD and life jacket.
PFD, personal flotation device, for those
yep.
that don't know. Now, you know, there are safety issues that present themselves in flat water like a lake. That are quite different than the safety issues that present themselves in moving water. So you have some safety schools for the swift water type rescue.
Yep. Yeah. So keep progressing on. So once those classes are done in June, we have our annual canoe and kayak school, and that is down in Etowah, Tennessee, at G Campground, and that is strictly it's really a only whitewater. We're doing class two or class three plus. We teach on the Hiawassee River or the Ocoee River, depending on the level of the class.
Right.
We usually get that class is usually around 60 to 70 people as well. And then our next progression in our training series, your annual training series, is basic river rescue. And that is where you go to the Hiawassee for a weekend and you do exactly what you're talking about. You learn how to, you know, we literally take you down the river, and at every feature on the Hiawassee River, we set up a scenario or we set up an exercise to teach you how to wade properly in moving water, how to get your boat out of the moving water, how to, you know, help somebody else. You know, so many skills that we can learn, and this is these are things that everybody needs to learn if they're going to get on class two water.
True enough. The Hiawassee is not the raging river that the Ocoee is, but it is moving water, and if you fill up a canoe with water, it's a heavy object and very difficult to maneuver around. So, but I will encourage listeners to participate in those activities, if for no other reason to just see the Hiawassee River and the Ocoee River. They're beautiful places.
Yeah, I tell you, the Hiawassee is literally probably one of the most beautiful places in the area. There's bald eagles.
True enough.
And they're like in the middle of the river. You can't go to the put-in and the take-out. You got to go down the river to see them.
And the G Creek campground that you're speaking of is quite a nice little campground. Mm-hmm. It's been probably 15 or 20 years since I've been there, but it's kind of a primitive campground, but it's a very nice little location right along the river.
Yep, it's right. It's actually at what we call the last takeout on the river.
Mm-hmm.
And you can paddle all the way down that section. It's probably class one plus from what do they call that? The train bridge down.
That's right.
So you can paddle down there and take out at the campground. And again, we have a great relationship with the rangers down there.
Fantastic. Now, you all, as volunteers, act as support for a lot of other activities and organizations that happen, activities that happen around the state. I know that there's a triathlon coming up at Long Hunter State Park, I think it is. Tell us about what's going on there.
Yeah, that is our Lost Loon. That is an event. It's a lot of fun. It is a triathlon, but it is actually no really serious attempt at actually finishing first. I forget the distances on it, but there is a bike ride, a run, and a paddle on the boat.
Okay.
And the distances aren't far. I think the bike ride, maybe 6-7 miles. And the run is 1.5 to 2 miles.
Right.
And then the paddle is like maybe 1/2 mile or so. And we actually, you know, set the event up. We help people get in and out of boats. We direct the courses up. And it's just it's just family oriented. But everybody gets dressed up in costumes and no one acts serious at all.
Now that's coming up in mid-September.
Yes, I think it's September 15th.
Okay.
And it's a great, I'll be there. Actually, most of the people from TSRE will be there. And it's just a lot of fun. I think there's a pizza party at the end of it. And it's just a great way to meet people that are active and outdoors.
Well, before we go too much further, you all have a website, which people can find at TSRA.
Yeah.
If they just Google TSRA, your website will come up.
Yeah.
You also have a Facebook page where a lot of these activities are listed.
Yeah.
So if people are interested in knowing about these activities, they sure could go to those sites.
Yeah, our website is paddletsra.org.
Okay.
So that is our website where all the information is there and more info on the history of TSRA and other events we get involved in. On Facebook, well, we have two things. We have our, you know, kind of our front page, which is just Tennessee Scenic Rivers Association. So you got to type it all out.
Right.
And then if you're interested in paddling, we do have this place out there called Paddler, TSRA Paddler Chat. And we're doing this on, what is it called, Common Adventures instead of sponsoring trips. It's just a way for other people. You don't necessarily even have to be a member. We would like for you to be. But if you can join that, you sign the waiver, then that's how other people connect to meet up and go paddle wherever they want to paddle. Of course, we recommend come to our classes. You'll meet a bunch of cool people. You'll learn a lot of great skills, and you'll see what we're all about, and it's a lot of fun.
Right. Fantastic. Now, you all have a publication that you do.
A newsletter.
And tell us about that.
Yeah, so we send out a newsletter at least once a month. Sometimes it's like every 3 weeks this time of year. We've got so many events going on from, we're really busy between April and we're finally about out of it. By the time Lost Loon's done, that's kind of our last event. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel for me this year.
Right.
So we send out an email newsletter. And if you wanted to get on that, you don't have to be a member either, but you can go to our website and go to the very bottom, and there's a place there to sign up to be notified.
Oh, fantastic. And that will get you notice of all the different activities that you have going on.
Correct.
There was one other activity I wanted to mention that's going on in early September that has to do with the Harpeth River access. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we, again, we do a lot of these access builds all over the middle of Tennessee, and we got one coming up September 6th, and it is on the Harpeth River, and I forget the time. I think it's like 8 a.m. in the morning to meet at the
Williamson County Community Center.
And, we'll meet up with a bunch of – usually there's Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts that come out there, college kids. They come, right? They do some of their community hours. And
right. Just so people understand what we're talking about, this is a building a river, a canoe or a flatboat river access. So this is where you can take your canoe or kayak from your car down to the river.
Correct.
So it's a matter of constructing some steps and some slideways.
Yeah, typically we use big timbers and we stake drive them in the ground. Because typically, there are known, you can go to American Whitewater and look at different rivers in the area and it'll tell you where you can put in and take out your boat where you're not on private property.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these, if we get the permits and the ability through the state parks program, we'll put these together and we really build them solid. Like on the Harpeth River, the ones that we already have in the Harpeth River, the 2010 floods, ours were still there.
Okay.
Because we literally put, timbers all the way around. We build stairs. That way, it's kind of an unsafe area where some of these put-ins and takeouts are because, they get eroded, always changes, people going up and down on dirt, various things happen, potholes that you step in.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we design, we have a team of guys that design these and we literally make it where we have rock and steps that take you all the way to the river and all the way up to the flat area of land so that you don't have to
So somebody that wanted to participate in this activity should come prepared to do some physical labor.
Oh yeah. It is physical labor and you don't have to stay the whole day. You can come and work as often as you want.
Okay.
And typically people come, they'll come work in the morning or they'll come work in the afternoon. Some of us stay the whole weekend. Sometimes there are multiple weekends. I'm not sure if this one's going to have another weekend. It sometimes depends on
what you get done.
On what
maybe
we get done.
Weather.
Yeah, but it's a lot of hard work. But it's you have a lot of family or a lot of fun with the new family, and it's just a good time.
So, Gary, what is in the future for the TSRA, and what's? I know we have a legislature coming into town in the fall, and usually y'all have some sort of an idea of some things that you want the legislature to do to protect the water and the rivers. What's in the future as far as TSRA is concerned?
Well, from us, the growing popularity of our sport, especially in the recreational department, people are coming out in droves and doing that. So we're really expanding, keeping those programs going, and going to try to expand them, make them more available more often. But again, we need the volunteer base to come and do the class and then take over the class and run with it. Another thing going on is I think it's the state is looking to capture some revenue. Right now they're looking at the outfitters like on the Caney Fork, the Harpeth, and all in Buffalo River. Right, they're capturing revenue because they do have expenditures, right? They're TWRA and them are going out there and rescuing people, so it's costing us money. And they're trying to recapture that, and it makes sense. And so we're keeping an eye on that. I don't, that's kind of a moving target. There's a lot going on there. Nothing's set in stone yet, but we're keeping an eye on it for the outfitters as well as recreational boaters.
So I know there's outfitters on Hiwassee and Ocoee There's outfitters in West Tennessee or Southwest Tennessee on the some of the rivers down in that area. Where else do we have outfitters?
On the Harpeth River.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize
they're down
that.
Farther south.
Okay.
I think there's one down there called Riverettes that I've gone to down there.
Oh, there's one. Yes, there's one down there on the way that you go to Montgomery Bell along mm-hmm. the road there.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I believe there's a couple down there.
Okay.
You know, and then we have the Caney Fork Outdoors. It's
oh,
on the
sure.
Caney Fork River.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And, they actually help us out a lot. They're a good outfitter. They run help sponsor some of our events.
Well, I know that the outfitters at the Ocoee have to pay some serious fees to be involved in that. Are those other outfitters, are there fees that they pay to the state now?
Not currently.
Okay.
I think they probably just pay sales tax, but I think they are going to be levied with
okay.
that pretty soon.
Okay.
And, even private boaters, right? If you're using those facilities, somebody's got to pay for them.
Launching facilities.
Yeah. So right now we're, nothing's really set in stone on that, but we're keeping an eye on it for our membership base and,
okay.
and all of the boaters in general.
Sure enough, that's...
And the American Canoe Association, the state director there, she's really heavily involved in it. She gives us updates all the time, and she's keeping us aware of it. I'm glad she's there because it's something I don't have to keep my eyes on.
Fantastic. Now, you were saying that you were meeting with the state parks people about cooperative programming.
Right.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we were discussing with them this just to try to say that we want to be involved in the conversation. So, if they're going to, whatever rules they're going to put on private boaters and or outfitters, right, because the outfitters are our friends. And, we want to be a part of that conversation, not just have something handed to us that we have to, choke down. But the other thing is we talked more about some access builds, right? They really like that we work with them on that. And we want, that's part of our charter. We want to continue to provide access for people, get people on the water so that people appreciate it. So they're interested in that, and they also swift water training, which mm-hmm. is one of the things that I do. We have a great swift water program. So we've already trained some of the park rangers in the state of Tennessee, East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and they want us to continue that. So, it's good to get that recognition from them
mm-hmm.
so that, they're participating in our programs and helping us, and we're helping them. It's a great partnership to be with.
Around Nashville, we have greenways. There's a new terminology that's out there called blueways.
Blueways, yeah.
Tell us about what blueways are and where we can find those in Tennessee.
Yeah. And, so a blueway is the same thing. It's a path that you can go boat on, right? It's just like the greenways here. It's a good way for recreation. And I believe the Hiwassee is the blueway in the state of Tennessee.
Okay.
And, I know I've heard talk about the Wolf River in, Memphis area, West Tennessee, that that's, I don't know if it is a blue way or it's going to be a blue way, but I've heard people discuss that. But it's just a way to have a set place where you can recreate and everybody can go out there.
There's a place in East Tennessee called the Seven Islands State Birding Park. Which if you've not been to see it, you should go see it because it's right along the French Broad River,
okay.
And it's quite a beautiful area. Now this is part of the French Broad that's on the downside of the Douglas Lake, so it's not part of the French Broad Scenic River per se. It's because it's below the dam,
yeah.
But it's quite beautiful. And I was speaking with one of the rangers there last year, and they're talking about. Designating that a blue way as well along that French Broad River.
That's good. I haven't heard that. I know I've paddled the French Broad. There's a section out there called, I think it's called Section 9. It's a class 2-3 section. It's really beautiful out there.
Yeah, that's where it comes right up out of the mountains.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, that's quite beautiful up in there. Well, Gary, I want to thank you so much for taking your time out today to speak with us. We've learned a lot about Tennessee Scenic Rivers Association. And folks, if you want to be involved, go to their website, go to their Facebook page, and participate. It's a fantastic organization.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and we appreciate the time.
You're welcome.